Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Straight out of Austin, Texas, it's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first, On Second Thought.
Hello, sports fans. On Second Thought, episode 78, brought to you by Hook'em.com and our friends at Bud Light. Cedric Golden here with the Duck, Kirk Bowles. Power-packed podcast today, big man.
Gonna be fun.
We have TCU Athletic Director Chris Del Conte will be calling into the dungeon. Also going to be joined in-house by our resident Fantasy League football expert, Catarino Vasquez.
I need some help.
Gonna need some help. Our teams are struggling. But first, the Texas Longhorns.
They're back.
Evened up at 4-4.
500.
500. 3-2 in the Big 12.
One game out of first.
Still in the mix for a Big 12 title. Still in the mix for a bowl game. Their goals, sir, are still ahead of them.
Yeah, they are. And you know, it's funny. Tom didn't really want to talk about the Big 12 race, and you know, why get ahead of yourself? I mean, you're sitting there 4-4, but I mean, they're one game back and four-way tie for first. I mean, who doesn't have a chance other than Baylor and Kansas?
I know, and the only thing they haven't done is beat a good team. They need to beat a good team.
And you know what's funny about that? I just always thought this whole year they're going to knock off one good team. I figured it'd be USC, OU, or OSU.
It hasn't happened.
One of them, and hadn't happened. They've been close.
They lost three games by a total of 11 points.
I haven't edited it up. You know, math in my
29-24, 13-10, and 27-24. So 3-3-5. That's 11 points.
You know, they're right there. And this is a winnable game, I think. Okay. And it didn't help that, you know, Iowa State knocked them off, because they're going to be desperate and get, you know, the best shot TCU's got. And they would anyway. But that little piece of mental thing kind of hurts them. So they're going on the road. TCU has had their number lately. Here's the reasons I give them a chance, okay? They had a little bit of a running game. It was Baylor. Baylor's bad, okay? A little bit of a running game. But at least they're
– The kids ran well. Toneil and Danny Young.
They've got a little confidence. I assume he'd go with Shane Buechel. I think he should.
Yes.
He's a better passer. He's just a better passer than – they're probably not going to run the ball very much anyway. So, you know, sell out and protection and help him get the ball downfield. And their defense is real.
The defense is real. The receivers need to come around. Got to get Colin Johnson back engaged.
And he did a little bit.
He did a little bit, but hasn't responded very well after the demotion. Monte Foreman is back in the fold.
Got a little bit of action.
He's a playmaker, Duck. He's a playmaker. They need him. And hopefully we'll see Gerard Hurd back at receiver.
He
was the backup quarterback, and he's back working out.
But he hadn't had a huge impact. More Reggie Hemphill Maps and little Jordan, who I really like, and Colin, the greatest receivers in school history.
Yeah, whatever. Well, check out what Tom Herman. Here's the thing. The last time I was in Fort Worth, they were down 30-7 in the first quarter. And that was a 50-7.
Oh, it was a humiliating
loss of the Charlie Strong era outside of Kansas. And that was one of those things where you said, you know, Texas fans are like, man, we just want to be competitive.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're to the point to where they're going to be competitive.
Oh, yeah.
Against this TCU team. Check out what Tom Herman said about his feelings going into this game. Here's Coach Tom Herman on Second Thought.
I think there is some added motivation for the guys that have been on this team for a while, the juniors and seniors, that they've been embarrassed by this team, and they don't want to be embarrassed again. And you know, this is an in-state conference team. And, you know, we recruit against them. We see them all over the place all the time. And you know, I know our guys, a lot of them, you know, played with or against a lot of the guys on their team and, you know, kind of ran around in the same recruiting circles as they were coming out of high school. And so it's a big deal when you play another team in our conference that's from the state of Texas.
So, Duck, he basically he was blatant about it. We don't want to get embarrassed. You don't want to go in there and get punked.
Well, and they've been embarrassed by TCU, and they're tired, sick and tired of that, as they should be. So, you know, we always talk about defense travels, and, you know, they're playing really well, and the secondary has come so far. I think the front seven been pretty consistent all year, but and Holton Hill's been great. Deshaun Elliott's been great, and you know, Brandon Jones getting a little better. Chris Boyd, and he's still an emotional player, but you know, he's very active. And Antoine Davis playing a little bit, and PJ Locke's doubtful with his ankle injury.
Probably not going to play.
But the secondary really improved, and I think the fact that Kenny Hill's to me an average quarterback really gives them a legitimate shot at upsetting the Horned Frogs.
Oh, absolutely. And when you have the kind of leadership that we're starting to see up front from Malik Jefferson, from Big Chris Nelson, from Charles Amenihue, who's playing really well.
He really is.
Guys like him, Breckenhager, who just needed a chance, who just needed some reps, Malcolm Roach. All of a sudden, those names that we were hearing the last couple of years in blowouts going the other way, being on the business end of losses, all of a sudden, those guys have taken ownership of this football team, Duck, and they know that they can go in there and hold a good team to 24 points.
Yep.
That in the Big 12, that should be enough for you should be either in the game or winning the game in the fourth quarter. The question is, can this offense cobble together enough points against a quality Big 12 defense to get out of Amon Carter with a win? That's the question.
I mean, two good defenses, as you said, so it's got low scoring written all over it. So, and that can help play in the Texas hands as long as they can control Kenny Hill, you know, put him on his back, you know, rattle him, you know, make him turn the ball over, throw an interception. Deshaun Elliott's due for another pick six, and he's only had two this year. So, you know, I really think this is going to be a tight, competitive ball game.
For the first time in a long time, a Texas TCU game is going to be close. I worry if I'm Todd Orlando, who's done a terrific job in his first season as the DC. If I'm T.O., I really am concerned, not as much about Kenny Hill, but I'm more concerned about Adarius Anderson and Hicks, the venerable running back that just got back from an injury a couple of weeks ago, and then the X factor, Kevontae Turpin, who really hurt them the last couple of times they played.
Yeah, I think you hit on the one big factor of the game where TCU has a decided edge is that they have confidence running the ball. They've got explosive running backs, and they can really hurt you. And I don't know if Texas can hurt somebody on the ground unless you're a bad team like Baylor. So that's what I'm struggling with as far as, you know, making my prediction on that.
But yeah, you're gonna have to make your prediction here in a few minutes.
I know. All right. Well,
you just I don't know. You just you let this look. You really want to pick the Longhorns.
I know. I'm struggling. I do want to pick them.
And so I could probably get away with picking them because I'm winning the picket line as usual. So I could probably get away with picking them and losing, but I don't know just yet. That's called in our industry. That's called a tease.
Maybe by the end of the show, I'll have the guts to pick them.
Maybe by the end of the show, but we got Texas going into Fort Worth, full of confidence, but needing that signature win. Speaking of TCU, we've got a special guest for you, as mentioned before, TCU Athletic Director Chris Del Conte, joining us via phone. Let's go to the AD with the most, Chris Del Conte, on Second Thought. Joining us via phone, in the dungeon, another big fish on the On Second Thought hook, charismatic athletic director, Chris Del Conte from TCU. Chris, what's happening?
Everything's good, my man. Just trying to pay the rent today.
Paying the rent's a good thing, and I got to start.
That's right.
I got to start at what in the hell happened in Ames, Iowa?
You know, I think you got to give credit to Iowa State. They came out and played well. I think we had 13 penalties and 3 turnovers. And, you know, just one of those games that had a tough go. But Iowa State played well, and you got to give credit to them. And we got to figure out a way to bounce back this weekend against the University of Texas.
So let me ask you this. How critical a blow was that for TCU's CFP chances, in your opinion, Chris?
I don't think it's that critical if you win out, right? You look at if you win the rest of your games and you win the Big 12 championship, you're going to go back and look at a strength of schedule in the Big 12 with the amount of teams that we have in the top 20. And those other teams ahead of us, that if you beat those teams and whoever you play for the big championship and were able to win that, it should not affect you that much, in my opinion, especially where we're sitting today. If you remember, if you go back to 4 years ago, Ohio State was right around 9 at this point in time, mm-hmm. when the first ranking went out and then went and ran the table. So, you know, destiny's still in our hands, and we just got to control our own destiny 1 week at a time. And this week's a big week for us. The University of Texas has an amazing defense, and their offense is starting to come together. So we have our work cut out for us.
Longhorns visiting Fort Worth this Saturday to play your Horned Frogs. Here we were last week thinking we had it all figured out. OU had lost, Oklahoma State had lost, and we're like, okay, it's a TCU year, and then TCU goes up to Ames and stubs its toe. Does that say anything about the quality of play, the parity in the Big 12, as opposed to years ago when it was either Oklahoma or Texas?
I think right now we are having a parity across college football. Right, it's amazing to me that across the country, parity they have in any given weekend. You're going to have a team that rises in the Big 12. The depth of the Big 12 has never been any stronger than it is now. When you look at who we beat out of conference as a league, who we're playing, how we're competing, it's amazing to me. But across the country, you can say the same thing. This past weekend, a lot of teams lost that everyone kind of was like, hmm. So every weekend, that's why it's the greatest sport in college athletics, in terms of you have 11-game regular season. Every game matters, and you play a championship game, then you see where the chips fall where they may in terms of getting invited to the CFP. But the Big 12, no doubt, has every team has gotten better this past 2 years.
Well, I think you're right. I think top to bottom, it's really, really good. I know, you know, Baylor's winless here, but, you know, they've played some really competitive games. I was in Waco when they gave Oklahoma all they could handle, and that's what I think the strength of the league. You look at the SEC, and it's so top-heavy, and by top-heavy, I almost mean two teams, with Alabama and Georgia, maybe Auburn. But, you know, how would you compare, like, the Big 12 to the SEC, Chris?
Well, I think when you look at when you have big number conferences, you're just going to have a lot. You're going to have heavier, and there's going to be a huge disparity when you're looking at 14, 15 teams, right?
True, right.
It's just completely different with 10 teams and playing, and you play everybody. You don't skip anybody. They'll say that one league, one division is stronger than the other. They can say the same thing about the ACC. They said the same thing about the Big Ten, the Pac-12. Right now, we don't duck anybody. You play everybody in your conference, and then you, at the end of the year, you'll play the very best two teams for the right to play for the CFP or the BCS playoff. I mean the Group of Six bowl game. So I do believe that we are sitting in a great position. But when you start to comparing leagues, it's almost impossible to do. I just know that how we've competed out of conference and how you come back in conference and you're playing against, it's a pain in the rear end every weekend. It is. And some schools said, oh, it's let me move somewhere else, and they're not having near the success that they thought they'd have, or floundering in the leagues that they're in. And that's just tells you that this region is college football. Texas plays great football. Oklahoma plays great football. In terms of the Big 12 and the footprint we have, and West Virginia has always been really competitive in their entire history. So it's every weekend has been a real joy. Right, let me tell you that much, fellas.
Man, I know Gary Patterson, one of the best coaches in the country, and always has TCU right there, ready to roll. Perennial bowl participants.
Won the Rose Bowl.
Won a Rose Bowl.
You were there.
I was there.
You were.
They sent J.J. Watt out of college and into the pros. Red Jesus, Andy Dalton got it done that day. What kind of coach is he to be affiliated with as far as, you know, he works for the school and all of that? He always seems to be wearing that purple on his sleeve, and he's not afraid to play the small school against the big school card. That chip on his shoulder, how does that work for him, and is that got a lot to do with why he's been so successful?
I think that you carry everything around you that determine how you've grown up, right? As you become adults, sure. You go back to what you were raised and how you were raised and where you came from. I do the same. I think I'm sure the two of you do the same as well. Gary grew up in Rosalia, Kansas. Nothing was given to him. He went to a junior college, walked on, went to K-State, walked on, became a coach midway through his career there. Had a dozen to 15 stops before he got to TCU in the coaching trail, before he got his head job. He has become the institution here because every single day he's always afraid of failure. The guy prepares more than anybody I've ever been around. He's attention to detail. He has notes from his first practice when he was a head coach in 2000 to now.
Wow.
And meticulously reviews everything every single day.
Wow.
Here's what we did back then. Here's our practice. I mean, and that guy, and it permeates our entire athletic program. His attention to detail, how he goes about his business, has a direct effect as rising tide floats all boats.
Mm-hmm.
And taking TCU to a place that we didn't think possible. You got to remember, we got left out of the Southwest Conference, which is the best thing that ever happened to TCU. It now forced us to point the finger back at us, right? When you point the finger, there's 3 points back at you.
Right.
We weren't investing. We were just a holdover. Gary came in here, put us in a position where, guess what? We started to invest in our program. And we went through a 5-conference odyssey as he built that success up. And, you know, I think that chip on his shoulder is just a chip on his shoulder from how he grew up. Rural Kansas, tough. Take no prisoners. You work for what you get. And that's the way it flies every day. So a lot of times, you know, he relishes that role because he's comfortable in that role, and that's who he is.
And it shows, you know, he's got that physical toughness that he wants his team to play with. And I assume you were the same way. I mean, I didn't know you way back when. I don't know if you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth. And I know you were a great track athlete at St. Barbara, weren't you?
Well, I grew up in a children's home in Taos, New Mexico. There was 85 kids.
Wow.
An amazing childhood for me. My parents were servants of society. They decided to give their life to humanity, and they started a children's home in Mexico. And I was born through that in the 60s, and I was had the privilege of growing up the way I did, and that was to be a selfless and a servant leader was what my father and mother taught me. And I was raised with those kids in each house. So as you were 0 to 6 in one house, and you go 6 to 13, 13 to 18, and you matriculate through, and they've impacted my life more than you could imagine, and I take that with me all the time. And that's where the power of sport came. For us growing up, no matter what you are, you're 30 miles out of town, they're going to talk about, there's the ranch. Sport got us our first date. Sport got us popular. Sport got us an opportunity to go to college. But it was through sport that transformed my life. So I take the idea of sport. Wins and losses are critically important. The reality of what sports can do from society, Kurt, whether you look back at Wilma Rudolph, you look at Billie Jean King, Jackie Robinson, Jesse Owens, or the Alabama USC football game, sport has had a major impact in how we view society. And even what's going on now with the NFL and the kneeling, it's really about calling out an injustice that's creating all this other sidebar story. But the reality was, it was about what was actually happening in society. And you can look at the 68 Olympic Games, right? So mm-hmm. Sport has been—it's a sociological experiment to me. I'm a walking an experiment on the values of what sport brings to the table.
And I wonder, you touched on the NFL. Where do you think that's going? And it sure doesn't seem like there's any signs of dissipating as far as the, you know, the social political crossroads we're at.
But sport has always been part of the social political crossroads.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
Jackie Robinson played a huge role in integrating society.
Absolutely.
A football game with Paul Bear Bryant and USC played a huge role in integrating that football program at Alabama.
Sam Bam
so
Cunningham.
It's always been part of it, right? Billie
sure.
Jean King and the women's movement. So
right.
I understand. I think it's a little bit different now in terms of the political climate we're in from a standpoint of other things that are being attached to it. But the reality was at the beginning was just to talk about the injustice that were happening for young African-American people in this country. And people that took a stand and say, hey, you know what, let's take a look at this. And you can talk about, but it never became a national story until someone sat there and said, hey, I'm going to kneel to bring attention to this. Now it's gone so much more political
right.
on a completely different continuum. The original thought, and it was not about calling out police, it was just talking about what is happening. There's more people that are dying at the hands of guns in this country than need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's so many more other messages that are being there, and I feel for that, I understand that. But what's happening now is above where my comprehension. I understood what it was early. Now it's just gotten so far. But our whole country's polarized right now.
Yeah, so true, Chris. And Kirk and I talk about it all the time. It's not about people getting killed anymore. It's a lot of it's about athletes who just don't like the president, and they don't want to get pushed around. And somewhere along the line, Colin Kaepernick's message has kind of been swallowed up in all of that. Do you think it's going to come to a point where college kids start demonstrating more? I mean, that's your livelihood. Do you see a day when maybe kids from Texas or TCU get together in a locker room and decide to kneel?
Well, you know what we do in our locker room? I always talk about the why. Let's not do it because it becomes a chic thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about why and what the value of sport is and why you're here. You know, basketball, football, it's what you do. It's not who you are. It's a tool to get you a great education. You may go pro, you may not, but this is a tool that God gave you, that God-giving talent to get an education through that talent you have on the playing fields. And that's what it is. So I spend a lot of time talking to our kids. Do I think that someone would sit there and say, hey, you know what? Sure, but at the end of the day, let's talk about why you're doing it. And I really spent time over a history lesson. Here's where it went from. Here's exactly what happened with Juan Carlos in 68. Here's what happened when Jesse Owens came back from Germany to a segregated society. Here's what happened when women were not allowed to participate in intercollegiate athletics, and what the value of that game with Billie Jean King has nothing to do with the political movement that was happening. That game we all talk about, that tennis match in Houston, is resonates because that was the one time everyone can visually see that.
Exactly.
And so we spend a lot of time with that, and the police. It's not a police matter to me. It's really been about guns. It's been about crime on crime and communities and what is happening. And we had a gunman shoot five policemen here in Dallas. It was horrific. And when that happened, we sat down with our students. We talked about both. And right, and I don't profess to walk in the shoes of an African American person that what he's went through. But we had our police come and talk about what they go through and the crime that's happening in our society. And we have to have discourse and conversation. And it's okay to have conflicting conversation because that's how you grow and learn. But sometimes they don't want to hear it, right? And sport is so visual that it gets manifested through that.
Well, yeah, and you just hit on it, Chris. It's about having conversations that are proactive, conversations that move us forward, that don't divide us. And that's my one regret with all this with the NFL is that people that are closed-minded, I'm not going to listen. You know, they don't stand for the flag. They're not patriotic. I'm not watching. It's like, well, I feel sorry for those people because we're missing the point. We're all Americans. We all want to make this country better and more unified. And so much of that is lost in all the rhetoric, and it kind of saddens me. So I applaud you for talking to your athletes. And like I said, it's so much more important than third and down and that sort of thing. But
and one more thing, Kirk. You said we all want this country to be unified. Not everybody does. And some of the actions and some of the actions of an unfortunate few have borne that out. People like us want togetherness and unity, but not all of Americans want America to be great. They want America to be what America used to be.
Yeah.
And if we take steps backwards instead of taking steps forward, then all might be lost. And it's up to us, people like us, to make sure that we pass along the lessons of love and respect for your fellow man and tolerance. That's a big word.
Oh, yeah, huge.
Tolerance.
Huge.
And if people can't be tolerant of others and their differences and embrace them, then we're really going to have some problems.
Well, and to follow up, that's where the beauty of sport is, right?
Right.
Because in sport, teams that work together, play together, and cry together, succeed together, and fail together. That's what teams do. And that's what the beautiful thing about college athletics right now is you're bringing a melting pot of people. Outside of the GI Bill, college athletics provides more aid for all Americans to attend college. And you're bringing from all walks of life. And they come into a place like Texas or a place like TCU, and you're bringing them in. And you're saying, okay, we're going to be a team, and that's the beauty of it, coaches, because coaches then create that harmony, and that allows them to then when they get a platform to say, you know what, they see things differently, and it also allows both parties to grow or two countries to grow. When you look at my brother is a Navy SEAL. And we talk constantly about this. And he goes, no, I fight for the fact that you can protest.
Mm-hmm, exactly, exactly.
And it's not about the standing in place of the flag on a game. He goes, I fight for your freedom because other people don't have that freedom. Don't forget that.
Right. No.
And that was profound to me. Right. I'm sitting there going, okay, I got you. That's what he fights for. You know, he fights for that right. And it's not my brother, it's my sister's husband, so I guess it's my brother-in-law, but my sister's husband. But he fought for that, and he tells me that. We have these great discussions about it, right? And because I'm talking about where sport plays into society with the military and all these things that happen. And when I have those conversations with him, that allows me then to go address my students and have that conversation not only from his background, but from my perspective, and then talk about what makes America great. And ultimately, we are a democracy. And that and our military and that flag is flown high to give us a voice. But when people don't have a voice and they're not heard, they need to scream and shout any which way they can to be heard. And sport has been part of that platform.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. Hey, moving along, just a couple of other questions before we let you go, Chris. Future
of
the
history lesson there.
We need it.
Hey, enjoying it, man. Love it.
The future of the Big 12. You know, it's got a ways till it ends as far as contractually or anything. What do you see as far as the future of the league beyond 2025? And how is TCU positioned to move forward if things change and say the conference did go away, Chris?
Well, and this is back up from a I think we believe we have the right model. And let me tell you why we have the right model. Every one of our sports in the last 4 years, basketball, women's basketball, volleyball, baseball, softball, tennis, golf, you name it, we've been either the first or second conference in the country. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Right.
First or second conference in terms of strength of conference at the end of the year when they talk about the Big 12. And all of our sports this past 4 or 5 years. So we know what we have to do is we have to worry about football, right?
Sure.
That's the conversation. And we feel like we fixed it with the championship game. But we all got to perform at a higher level.
Well, no
That's
question.
The fact. We got to get teams continuous, consistently getting into the BCS. I mean, into the CFP, BCS, what tells you how old I am. I still call it
same
one
thing.
AA,
it's, the
way.
It's the same thing, brother. Same thing.
But the idea is we need Texas to be Texas. We need OU to be OU. We need TCU to be TCU. We need to be the best versions of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And when we're that, I'm telling you right now, we're in great shape. I love our commissioner. He's fantastic. He has great vision. Our 10 presidents are fully engaged. And it's really a ripe time. but unfortunately, we've got lost in some of the clutter. But when you peel back the onion, the Big 12 has never been healthier. Our revenue share for the Big 12 is significantly higher than the Pac-12 and the ACC. We know the SEC and the Big Ten are going to be higher than us from proximity of population,
sure.
But we're in great shape and we're healthy. So we just got to make sure that we continue to do the things we do and become the best versions of us.
Absolutely, and you as the one of the ranking members, I mean, you're the best AD in the Big 12, correct? I mean, you're not going to get any argument.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get any argument from you, am I?
I'm not going to even answer that question. There's plenty of qualified people in the Big 12 that are awesome.
But
a great job for their schools.
But you love TCU. I mean, whatever job entice you to leave, or are you just, I know you've done great things there in Fort Worth, but would you ever leave TCU?
Would I ever leave TCU? No, I mean, if something happened to my mom,
God forbid.
At some point, TCU may say, dude, that guy, we've had enough of him. You know what I mean? the reality is what I do every day is I come to work every day, try to do the very best job for TCU and for the university. That's I have no illusions, no intentions of going anywhere. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm serving at the mercy of our chancellor, board of trustees and alumni that are very passionate. So as long as I keep doing a good job, you know, I will be in good shape.
I think you are in pretty good shape. Hey, you didn't make the Longhorns homecoming opponent again, did you, like 2 years ago?
You know what? It might be.
I mean, you guys have owned.
I don't think. Is it homecoming?
The AD should know that.
Homecoming with Kansas. I'm like, what are you talking about? No, homecoming was Kansas week, and family weekend was the week before. This little late for homecoming.
Right.
It was just the way the game fell previously. No, Tom Herman and his team, he has them rolling. Those young guys, they got a great defense right now, and you can see his recruiting is phenomenal.
But y'all have owned Texas lately. It seemed like in every sport, you beat them twice in basketball. You're beating them in football. You go to the World Series 4 years in a row. I mean, shouldn't y'all spread the wealth and the happiness a little bit more? It's kind of selfish, all the winning y'all have had at TCU.
Let me help you out. We have owned nobody. We have been the very best version of ourselves, and that is what we're trying to do. OU, on the other hand, has won a lot of national championships, and he reminds me of that constantly. And you're only as good as your last game, and last week we lost to Iowa State, so we have to focus on Texas. But I will say this. One of the things that I'm very proud of at TCU has been able to keep and retain and attract really good coaches to come back to Fort Worth. And part of that process, guys, is that we've been able to raise a significant amount of money for facilities that doesn't have any debt. I can take that Big 12 money and use to operate, right?
Right.
And keeping a Gary, keeping a Slosh, keeping a recruiting a Jamie, our tennis coaches, all our programs, because Texas is winning a lot of national championships. So is OU. And those are big institutions that have national brands. And what we've been able to do is say, okay, those are Coca-Cola and Pepsi. We're going to be 7-Up. We're the unfollow. We got to find our niche. We got to find our niche and exploit our niche within the confines of the Big 12. You got the SEC. You got the Big 10. You got a lot of schools coming in here recruiting. So you find your niche and you try to expose your niche to as many people as you can within the state, because we're not a real big national recruiter.
Right.
We stay Texas, Louisiana. That's our wheelhouse. You know, we're not University of Texas, Oklahoma. They can go to California. They have a lot bigger swath than we do. And we stay where we're at, and we maximize that to the best of our abilities.
Are they building a statue for you yet? I know Gary Parsons has his statue. Is yours going up yet?
You know, there's no statue for ADs, my man. You know what I mean? We serve our – we serve our coaches and student athletes. That would not. That's a big negatory, my friend.
Well, hey, we appreciate you being with us, and yes, you do deserve a statue. Maybe you'll be the first AD with the statue in America.
Yeah, and, right. I do like that. My man DeLoss has DeLoss. DeLoss Goss driveway. That's pretty good, right there.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I was there when he. Think about what he's done for Big 12 in our industry. He's pretty awesome. So. You get to drive down to Lost Oz Way and see what's going on down there. I tell you what, I like Mike Perrin a lot. He's been awesome for us in getting a steady voice in our league and CP. So I like what you got cooking.
Man, we appreciate you being on, dropping a little knowledge on us. And you're always welcome back on Second Thought, okay?
On Second Thought. I appreciate you, fellas. You be good.
You're the best. Take care, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Bye-bye. Talk good luck.
Bye. Bye-bye. Bye.
You know what time it is. Time for some tackle football picks.
We had a good week last week.
You finally had a good week. Not trying to avoid the picks for the first time all season.
That's nice.
All right, let's start out in college. You got lucky and went 4-1.
You don't get lucky when you're 4 out of 5.
Now you're 17-12. I went respectable 3-2. 16-13.
We're getting still some separation here.
In the mix. Separation Sunday and Saturday.
Okay.
Let's start out with the Longhorns. I know earlier in the show, man, tough.
All right, it's time to pay the piper. What do you got?
You know, I really don't know that Texas is going to win, but boy, something tells me they've been in a lot of close games. I think they're going to cover that 6.5 points. Give me Texas
right
plus
there.
6.5 at TCU.
I hear you, dog. I'm right there with you. I like that, getting 6.5.
Bedlam is happening in Stillwater. Is it Stillwater this year?
Yes, it is.
It is Stillwater. I'm taking the Cowboys. I picked them to win the Big 12. That means they got to win this game. Give me Oklahoma State -3 over the Sooners.
Well, this should scare you to death because I'm right there with you.
Cowboys. Why are you copying?
You want me? I can go first.
No,
okay.
That's okay. Charlie Strong blew one in the last minute.
Yes, he did.
Against Houston. I think the remedy is a trip to UConn. The USF's going to be all over the Huskies. Give me South Florida -22.
Whew,
over UConn.
A lot of points to give up. I'm going to go with the South Carolina Gamecocks. I know they're going into the between the hedges at Georgia, and they're just rolling right now. But you get 24.5 points. I like Will Muschamp's defense to get that done. South Carolina +24.5.
You know, Northwestern's been good to me.
Yeah,
they beat Iowa. They beat Michigan State.
They're not bad.
I think they're going to go into Lincoln and beat the bad Nebraska Cornhuskers.
Everybody does.
Give me the Northwestern Wildcats +1 at Nebraska.
I'm going to stay in the Big Ten as well. Wisconsin, they played two teams with winning records. They're ripe for an upset. Indiana's got a good passing game. Indiana +10.5 over Wisconsin.
Ohio State really, really came back in the most exciting game of the season. James Franklin blew that, got conservative, and just didn't do a good job of coaching. I think the Buckeyes are going to be emboldened by that comeback, and they're going to blow out Iowa. Ohio State -17.5.
Well, I would take Iowa in the points because you're wrong there. That's too big a margin because they're going to come down from that magical comeback. But I'm going to stick with Notre Dame. The Irish are rolling, and they do it on the ground. The ground game is there every week with Josh Adams. So I'm going to take Notre Dame, give 13 points to a not a bad Wake Forest team.
All right, let's hit the pros real quick.
You were bad there, too.
Was I bad?
Yeah, under 500.
Well, I went 3-2.
2-3.
I went 2-3 in the pros.
And I went 3-2.
And you went 3-2. What are our records now?
No, let's just go ahead and go to the picks.
Let's just go to the picks. All right, I'm going to go Kansas City +1 over your Dallas Cowboys.
That works for me. Alex Smith, maybe an MVP candidate.
No Zeke, probably. Cowboys going to struggle. Give me Indy +13 at Houston.
I'll take Houston and give you the 13.
You're a Will Fuller homer. I'm going to go Oakland -3 against the J.A.J.L.S. Miami Dolphins.
Now I'm going to go best team in football, Philly, giving 7.5 to a woeful Denver Bronco team.
Oh, I know. I'm going out on a limb here. I'm going back to the old school. I'm going with those Atlanta cow-cow Dirty Birds at Carolina. Cam Newton might not show up for the presser. I hope he doesn't show up for this game. Atlanta plus 2.5.
I'm going for with one of the most improved teams in the league, your Buffalo Bills, minus 3 to get by the Jets.
Can't believe they're this good. And my last one, Drew Brees not throwing touchdowns this year, but the Saints are still winning. Jameis Winston's been bad. Give me the Saints minus 7 at home over Tampa Bay.
I'm taking the same game, the other sideline dog, Tampa Bay. Give me the Bucks plus 7.
And that'll do it for the picks. Joining us live right here in the dungeon, frequent contributor to our little podcast, Kat Vasquez, the Fantasy League football writer for the Austin American Statesman and the owner of the FC Gatos in the building. What's up, Kat?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Kat may be my favorite guest. Okay?
Oh, he might be.
I like getting that inside knowledge.
Sure. He's got a little bit of knowledge. Yeah. But still a little undercurrent with us from the failed Golden Gatos.
Yeah, there's a
back
lot of
in
tension
the day.
Still. Yeah.
There's still a little bit of tension
there's
there.
There's some bitterness.
I got even last year, came after him.
Yeah, that's last year.
This year, not very good. I'm 3-5.
We'll
my Las
playoffs,
Vegas
though.
Derelicts. I'm not going to make the playoffs. The Duck, you're 3-5. You're woeful, 3-5.
I got Will Fuller, okay, and Leonard Fournette. I'm this close to being relevant.
On the upswing.
Yeah, I'm on the upswing. You heard Kat.
And Kat is 4-4.
Surprisingly 4-4.
But he's a high-scoring 4-4, and a lot of you out there have been through it when you're putting up the numbers and you're not getting the wins. So I think if it all plays out like it's been playing out, Cat will be in the playoffs, and we'll be on the outside looking in.
Naturally.
Well, let's talk about the midseason NFL.
Here we are.
8 games in.
And already.
And we had some trades before the deadline.
We did this week.
On Tuesday. Let's talk about my running back, Jay Ajayi.
It's always about you.
Formerly of the Miami Dolphins. And here's the thing. If you want to hide something from Jay Ajayi, put it in an end zone. He'll never get there. He scored 0 touchdowns this year, but now he's going to the National Football Conference's top offense, the Philadelphia Eagles. Cat, is Jay Ajayi going to find something
here? I think so. That's an immediate upgrade for him. That's obviously a downgrade for any poor LeGarrette Blount owners. The thing about Ajayi is – He kind of needs to be fed in order to be productive. Just looking at his game log earlier today, anytime he had more than 20 carries, very solid numbers. But there were times in Miami where he was around like the 11 carry range, and that's not going to do it for him. Last year he was kind of hit and miss. Even though those 200 yard games, those really stand out, and they're big. Obviously, you want that guy on your team. But if he's only giving you 5 points in the other weeks, then it's kind of tough to start him.
I'd kill for 5 from him.
Moving to Philadelphia, though, with that passing game they have, Carson Wentz has just looked so solid this year.
Oh, my goodness. He's been great. And they're a Super Bowl contender, no question, if not a front runner. Let me ask you this, Kat. Now, would that a little bit hurt the value of Carson Wentz?
I don't think so at all. One thing people forget is that Jay Ajayi was actually a pretty good pass catcher in college. They didn't utilize that at Miami. If they can find ways to get him involved in the passing game, then that even kind of increases Wentz's value.
Right.
And I just don't think any kind of a change to the running game is going to affect him. He's just been so good.
What a scary offense that is now.
For sure.
Isn't it?
It was already scary.
Yeah.
Now another missing left tackle, Jason Peters, for the year. And the defense took a hit with our friend Jordan Hicks getting hurt. But I just think that they are far and away the most balanced offense in the NFL.
For sure.
And Carson Wentz only going to get better.
I agree. Another trade, Jimmy Garoppolo finally moves out of New England. Gets only a second-round pick. I was stunned they could have had first round earlier. But
do they think Brady's going to play till he's 70?
I think they do. And plus, with San Francisco, it's the very top of the second round. So it's almost
a
first-round pick.
Yeah.
Jimmy Garoppolo, does he come in and start immediately, and should people draft him?
He's not going to start this week, I don't believe. Once he gets a couple of weeks under his belt in terms of learning the offense and what a great mind to go to for him, playing for Kyle Shanahan.
Miss him. My yep. Falcons miss him.
That yeah, the Falcons offense is
so what do you else. See? What do you see upside the rest of the year from Garoppolo?
Rest of the year from Garoppolo, he could end up being a spot start for you. It's just gonna be hard when you're lacking a lot of talent on the offense, to have him be, you know, a consistent starter for mm-hmm. you if you end up picking him up. But if you have one of those guys that's on the edge, like a Ben Roethlisberger or
my guy, Jameis Winston.
Sure.
Who's terrible. Sure. Who's Tom Brady's backup now?
They don't have one, yeah, I don't think.
I don't.
Boy, they might have to get one quick. I'm telling you. But, yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, that was supposed to be the landing spot sure. for Kirk Cousins in the offseason. Now they've got their guy. So yeah. Washington, that probably helps the leverage for the Redskins as yeah. far as, you know, money. Of course, Kirk Cousins will be in demand from a lot of teams, right?
Sure, yeah. He's quality. I mean, it would just be really interesting if he was still the Redskin next year. Yeah.
He's in demand in this room. Do you want to trade for him? I've got him. He's my quarterback.
I've tried to get him from you. You're trying to hold me up.
Quit offering me crap offer me a real trade.
Will Fuller right now for Kirk Cousins.
No, it's got to be more.
You love Will Fuller.
It's got to be more. Kirk Cousins, 25 points a game.
Maybe Will Fuller and Deontay Foreman.
How about Will Fuller and somebody who's playing football?
Foreman can be a keeper.
I don't want to keep a guy that's not getting carries. See, why am I keeping him?
Cats. See what I have to deal with.
Yeah,
give me Will Fuller and Deontay Foreman if I can get Deontay's Texas stats.
Okay.
Then we'll talk.
All right. It's good to me.
That's possible.
Well,
I don't think it is.
The last trade was Duane Brown going back to Seattle.
Big
Russell gift for Wilson them. Was just tearing it up. But do you think there's hope for these Seattle running backs now?
I do not think there's hope for these Seattle running backs. It's just it's got to be Russell Wilson or bust pretty much in that offense. Eddie Lacy just never looks good.
No,
Thomas Rawls has not been the same since he had that severe injury.
Can't stay healthy, can he?
Yeah. CJ Procise
is hurt.
So fragile.
Always hurt.
Just so fragile. I mean, there's just really nothing.
Right.
Nothing valuable in
but
that.
But it's
got to
help
right
Russell
now.
Wilson a little bit.
Oh, fantasy wise, for sure. I mean,
yeah.
if he's going to have the game like he had
yeah.
this weekend,
really,
with the duel he had with Deshaun Watson, then for sure his value is going to stay right. pretty high.
Now, Zeke Elliott, you know.
Oh, boy.
Suspension's upheld again. Who knows how that plays out? What would you tell Zeke Elliott owners the rest of the year?
Just pick up Alfred Morris if he's there. I mean, that's the only thing. You should have had him already.
You
if you're a Zeke owner heading into the season,
right.
you should have had a spot for Alfred Morris or even Darren McFadden. I don't understand this talk about Alfred Morris being the main backup right now. Even Jerry Jones says it, though, so that's got to be it. But they had McFadden, who had a 1,000-yard season before Ezekiel Elliott came in the league, and it just seemed like they were he was the healthy scratch because his only role would be to be the starter coming in, and Alfred Morris was a change of pace back coming whenever Zeke was healthy. But it's starting to look like Morris is going to be the guy.
So if they were both on the waiver wire right now, which one would you tell fantasy owners to pick up?
I think you would have to go with Morris at this point, given what's coming out of Dallas.
And he's been playing football.
And he has been on the field, yeah, for sure, yeah.
Because Darren hasn't
That's
been
a factor.
Playing. Well, what are the biggest busts the first half? Who were the guys that really we thought were going to bring it earlier in the preseason that just haven't gotten it done, besides Jay Ajayi and his zero touchdowns?
Sure.
We've already discussed him.
Yeah, you know, one person I was high on because he has a lot of weapons is Andy Dalton. He was supposed to be the solid quarterback that with the high minimum scoring that you could play every week
mm-hmm.
and spend all of your what if you're in an auction to spend all your money or spend your high draft picks on quality receivers and quality running backs. But he has not been a stabilizing factor at all.
Brutal play caller. They fired him, and
sure.
they got a new OC.
Things got a little better
and
after
and
that.
Things got a little better after
sure.
that.
Sure.
And Tyler Eifert being out.
Yeah, that
and Joe Mixon hadn't been all that.
Joe Mixon has been a little bit disappointing. He finally had a nice week this week, but yeah, it's surprising how. You know, not much of a non-factor he's been so
yeah.
far, given all that talent.
And keep Le'Veon Bell's name out of your mouth, Joe Mixon. What are you talking about? You can do better than Le'Veon. Come on. Stop it. You're
stupid.
A rookie.
You need
stupid.
To be humble at
Any
this
other
point.
Bust, like my quarterback, Jameis Winston?
Oh, for sure.
List?
That is really unfortunate, given all the targets he has. He's got Mike Evans, who can catch anything. He's got a speedster in DeSean Jackson. And the thing about DeSean Jackson, he's a flyer, and I don't think Winston has connected with him deep at all. I think
one time.
He scored on a slant that you know, catch and run. Yeah, but never, I don't think, over the top that I could think of, but maybe one or two times. But that's crazy, and the fact that they have Cameron Brate, who's a great solid tight end.
He's a young tight end.
O.J. Howard, you know, nice rookie who's got a lot of talent. Pass-catching running backs. I just don't know what Winston's problem is.
And Mike Evans. You know what? And my thing is this. DeSean Jackson, yet another LVD player, Las Vegas derelict, who just hasn't gotten it done. I'm going to ask you about one more guy in my other league. I am the defending champion of the dereliction league in East Texas.
Whatever.
But I am a woeful 2-6 in that league.
Man, you're bad all over.
Matt Ryan. What the hell happened to Matt Ryan? Is this all Kyle Shanahan, or is there something else, Kat?
I think it's a little half and half. Or maybe three quarters, one quarter. Three quarters of his regression so far this year has been the loss of Kyle Shanahan. But the other quarter is the play calling of Sarkisian. That has just been really ineffective. And, I mean, with all that talent, there's got to be more there. But one thing I did precaution people entering the season about Matt Ryan is when you've got a quarterback who's been playing at least 5 or 6 years and they haven't been outstanding in that time.
Just
and
good.
Then all of a sudden they get a spike. Mm-hmm. You've got to be wary of that. Something happened that mm-hmm. season. Something right. came together that season. It wasn't that his talent finally came to fruition. It's that there was something unique about that season. And then you see this year he's starting to fall back to fumbling Matt Ryan that he typically had been.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
I watched Sunday and yeah.
Well, you traded Julio Jones.
In that rain. So, yeah. He fumbled twice. Matt Ryan's turned the ball over twice, I think, 4 games in a row.
Yeah. Is that Super Bowl hangover?
It is a Super Bowl hangover.
Thing, it looks like.
I traded Julio Jones to Ryan Otulo for Gronk because I know at the end of the day, as long as Gronk's healthy and Brady's healthy, he's going to catch 8 or 9 touchdown passes this season. So I don't know if it helped me. But I'm sure glad that I don't have to devote so much time to the dumpster fire that is the Atlanta Falcons yeah. right now.
And that's kind of the best part of it. What about the beauties? What surprises have you been impressed with first half of the season?
You guys knew that Carson Wentz, Deshaun Watson, and Alex Smith were going to be the top three quarterbacks this year, right?
I love Watson. I loved him on draft day. I saluted the Texans. I didn't think he'd be this good this early, but I love the guy.
I was convinced of Watson in preseason. It was kind of like – it reminded me of last year when Dak Prescott couldn't do anything wrong in preseason. Mm-hmm.
He just looked like a man.
Yeah, he just looked like he knew exactly what he was doing, and he was calm and cool, collected.
Exactly.
And with a running quarterback like Watson, you get a point for every 10 yards you rush for, whether you're a running back or a quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's got a floor of like 4 points, just kind of like Russell Wilson, who's, you know, classic running, scrambling quarterback. But the fact that he's connecting so well with his wide receivers right now. Will Fuller has 7 touchdowns on 13 catches.
Yay me.
That's more than half of his catches are touchdowns.
Trade him.
He's a deep threat. I love the guy. So, well, trade me Kirk Cousins, and he's yours. You got to pay something to get something.
You know what? And you mentioned Alex Smith, and no one saw this coming because he's Mr. Check Down Charlie.
And he throws stuff away.
He is going deep.
No picks.
Travis Kelce is great. Travis Kelce is the best tight end in football.
He's terrific.
He is. That first week, that first, I guess it was a Thursday night game against the Patriots. That was, I didn't realize that was setting the tone for the season for the Chiefs. I thought that was going to be one of those weird Thursday night games. But you see all the options Alex Smith has, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. Even the wide receivers who aren't huge names, Albert Wilson, Chris Conley. And then you have Kareem Hunt, who is probably the biggest surprise.
Faced him week 1 of the season. Murdered me, 45 points. He just, my preseason Super Bowl pick was Atlanta over Philadelphia. I mean, over Pittsburgh. And I wanted to do Kansas City instead of Pittsburgh, but I thought, oh, it's still Alex Smith.
Yeah.
You know, I just like you said, and now he's sitting here at midway point. Has there been a halfway point where a starting quarterback had zero interceptions?
Oh, yeah, Aaron Rodgers has had years like this.
Zero.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers had those kind of years.
That's amazing, though. And
he went a whole year where he only threw four.
Looks like he's going to keep it up. Any other surprises that have really turned out well that you weren't expecting?
Let's see. I think there was some wide receivers that had come to mind earlier.
Well, you mentioned Fuller.
Well, Fuller for sure is a big one.
How about Juju Smith?
Juju Smith, he's a guy that looks like he's going to come along.
At the expense of Martavis Bryant.
Yeah, if you want to talk about other disappointments, I was buying hard on Martavis Bryant to start the season. All the talent's there. He's just a knucklehead, it seems like, at this point.
And they're not going to trade him. So, God, it just he's got to be dying now.
Yeah,
but that's watching good. That 97-yard catch.
That was amazing. And if you guys don't follow Juju Smith-Schuster on Twitter, you need to start.
He's good.
He's hilarious. He's pretty funny. He said the reason he kept looking back on that play, he knew he could beat them to the end zone, but he kept looking back on that play because on Madden, his speed is only 82. So he was thinking he might get caught based on video game rankings.
Quandre Diggs tried to catch him, but our friend Quandre couldn't get there.
I love it. Well, any final thoughts? Anybody that you think fantasy owners out there should be looking at, maybe pick up on the waiver?
Sure. There's another surprise at tight end, I guess I'll go with, is Jack Doyle. The Colts are terrible.
Yeah.
And yet Jack Doyle is putting up numbers almost every
12
week.
12 catches this past week.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's big, 121 yards and a touchdown. He's somebody you could just probably pick up right now. Another guy is probably running back Alex Collins for the Ravens. They've had disappointment across the board this season. People you should be looking out for sure, coming back from injury. Somebody dropped Greg Olsen in desperation. He's going to probably come back in a couple weeks.
Who would drop Greg Olsen? Who would do that? Any ideas, Sid? Who might do? I mean, Greg Olsen is one of the best tight ends.
If you had an IR spot, then probably.
So you think he's coming back?
No, he will come back in probably 2 weeks, I believe.
Who turned off my mic? Okay, I dropped him. I was desperate. I was like 0-3. I had to do something. Okay.
But that's what I'm saying. It happens in leagues where your bench isn't that big. So so he might be out there. Another guy, obviously, of course, I talk about Alex Collins, but Danny Woodhead's probably practicing pretty soon too. So look out for these guys because they could help you out, especially if you're desperate at the position.
And this is getting into the bye weeks and stuff. I got Antonio Brown off this week. I'm sure you guys have guys sitting this week too.
My guys have been off all season. They've been off all season.
A season-long bye.
Yeah. Wow. I'm changing the name of my team to bye week.
There you go.
Well, Katerina, we appreciate it, man. To check his stuff out in the Statesman, there's some good stuff in Tuesday's paper. Check him out on Twitter. Is it AAS Cat?
It's AAS underscore Cat.
AAS underscore Cat. Good luck in your games this weekend, and I know I'm going to need it. Cat, we appreciate it, bro.
Thanks a lot.
Love you, man.
That will do it for episode 78 of On Second Thought. We got to thank TCU AD Chris Del Conte and our Fantasy League expert Katerina Vasquez for stopping in. For the Duck, and for myself, Sid Golden, and our illustrious producer, Alyssa Vidalis, we'll see you next time on Second Thought.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Sid and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.